Oh, man. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Sorry about that. Fellowshipping with people and you lose track of time, you know. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, amen? Oh. We have a very trustworthy God. And he's worthy of our praise. So let's stand this morning, and let's just give him all the praise that we have.
Trust it all to you.
some praise this morning.
The name. blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ
that it's such a great reminder of who God is. We have a God who's a waymaker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, and a light in the darkness, that surrounds us on a daily basis. And if we live like we believe those things, and the power of the Spirit comes upon us, and we become the light, do you believe that this morning? That God is powerful. God is gracious. God is loving. And not in ways that we might experience those things on a daily basis, but in a perfect way. A way that is incomprehensible. An amazing way. So let's just lift up praise this morning to the Waymaker, the Promise Keeper, and the Light in the Darkness.
stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
God, we are so thankful for who you are this morning. God, that we can stand here and sing and declare truths about you. Lord, that you're the way maker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that does not fully believe those statements, Lord, I just ask that you can open their eyes to a new point of view. God, that they would be able to see you in a new light, a perfect light, and just fully trust in you and who you are.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Amen. Let's give him praise this morning. You guys can have a seat.
Good morning, Mountain View. Man, what a way to start the day. Waymaker, amen? Whew. So glad you guys are here this morning. I'm going to see if I can get this right. I want to welcome everybody here in the room. I want to welcome our outside worship venue. I'm glad you guys have joined us out there. I want to say hi to our live stream audience and to the Orange County campus. I feel like it's Star Trek, you know? You just appear everywhere all at once. So glad you guys are here. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest with us, warm welcome. Pray that you are blessed by this morning's service. And thank you guys as you continue to show patience and flexibility as we try to maneuver through 2020. We're excited. We have our kids are meeting next door. That continues to grow and grow. And so now it's 10 o'clock service. So thank you for your flexibility, adults, as you either here or outside venue to let these kids meet. I spent some time with family. My cousin's wife, she works in the kids' ministry, and they were so excited because last week was their first week with kids. It's like, praise God, we've got 2 months on you. So it's just great. Thank you guys so much for the flexibility as we go through this year. A couple things I want to bring to your attention real quickly coming up very quickly. Gas buy-downs. If you're not sure what a gas buy-down is, this is an opportunity for us to bless the communities that we're a part of. We literally buy down the gas price. People come in, get a great deal on gas. We get to show them some Christ love, let them know we're here, and just love on the community. We got one of those opportunities are coming up next Saturday. That's the 19th. We'll be reaching out to our Orange County campus community in Rhodesville at Edward's store down there. There are still many opportunities that you could be a part of that. If you have not already signed up, we encourage you to be a part of that. It's a great opportunity to serve and just love on the people in our communities. And then if that doesn't work for you, if it's too short notice, you're like, oh, I didn't hear about it. October 3rd, we'll be loving on Culpeper County. We'll be at Southern States. That's October 3rd. So either one of those dates, there's two options. Something else coming up that we get excited about, we have a Pizza with the Pastor coming up. If you're not sure what Pizza with the Pastor is, this is a chance, literally you're having Pizza with the Pastor, fellowship, learn more about Mount View, where we're headed. If you're new to Mount View, this is a great opportunity to find out kind of what we're about, where we've been, where we're going. If you've been around a while, you're like, you know, I want that next step, I'm considering membership, this is the place to be. Either one of those positions, either one of those places you're coming from, that's what Pizza with the Pastor is for. So like I said, fellowship, learning more about the church family, and my personal favorite part, free pizza. So it's very important. Next Sunday, we'll be next door in the Student Center after our third service, so about 12:45, 1 o'clock, we'll be there. Again, short notice, doesn't work for you, that's fine. The next Sunday, the 27th, Pizza with the Pastor will be at the Orange Campus. So again, just pick the date, pick the location that works best for you. I encourage you to take part in that. You've noticed there's some websites there you can sign up to be a part of that. If you'd like to just go to our website, you'll find that all the information about Pizza with the Pastor, all the information about the gas buy-down, all the information about any of the events coming up. There's so much more there. You go to our events page, it's under the Connect tab on the website, or you can use the Church Center app and find out all the information you need there to sign up for any of those events that are upcoming. So just want to remind you guys that that is there as an option. You may or may not know about a group called Christ in Action. This is a disaster relief organization, faith-based, obviously, Christ in Action, that we partner with. They're one of our partners here with the church. They recently moved their headquarters to Culpeper County. They've been working on getting their offices updated in that new building and getting moved in. Many of you have been a part of that. We had some volunteer work days. Many of our church family was there. So to those of you that have helped, thank you. And you may or may not know that because it's a disaster relief organization, they hit the road Wednesday morning. They rolled out of here, headed for Lake Charles, Louisiana. They arrived mid-late morning, Friday morning down there, and they are on the ground digging in to help these people restore, recover from what the Hurricane Laura threw there. So when you give, part of that giving, part of your donation goes to help organizations like Christ in Action. You literally fueled the ministry's movement down there. Diesel's not cheap. It takes a lot to move 20-some trucks and trailers. So thank you for fueling that ministry with your giving. We're excited about that. I ask you to keep them in prayer. It's hard work, it's dangerous work, and there's another storm moving in that direction. So please continue to keep them in prayer as that goes along, and thank you for partnering. So we got a really great message for you this morning, just really challenging for me personally anyway. I hope you guys enjoy it. But before, I want to take a few moments and just pray. Pray that we'd be prepared for what God has for us this morning. So if you would, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I think we just take this for granted. If I'm being honest with myself, I'm probably not alone. We take it for granted. The fact that we can cry out, Abba, Father, to you, God and creator of the world, it's a privilege we take too lightly sometimes. Lord, the ability to gather in your name and worship, it's a privilege. Knowing we have an eternity to look forward to that, spending it with you, for those who have called on your Son's name for forgiveness, thank you. But I think we take this time, these Sunday mornings, for granted. God, this is your house. And Lord, for the times that we enter in lightly, for the times that we come flippantly, not realizing we are stepping on holy ground in your presence, forgive us. Lord, for the times that we roll through Monday through Saturday, forgetting who we are, who you've created and made us and called us to be, where we have lived unworthy, God, forgive us. It's not a demand, that's an ask, out of humility. Lord, this world is spinning in chaos. it can be a distraction. We walk in and our heads and hearts are not focused on you. Forgive us. Lord, quiet our minds. Open our hearts to what it is you want to say to us this morning. God, may we receive your word. May it challenge and grow us. And Mount View Church family, I just encourage you to take these next few moments, these next few quiet moments. Whatever it is that is personal for you, whatever you personally need to ask your Heavenly Father for, that would prepare you for this morning, that would prepare you for tomorrow as a child of God. Take these next few quiet moments and pray.
Morning, Mountain View family. Anybody happy to be in God's house today? Absolutely. Give God praise, man. It's good that he allows us to be here. I'm serious. Those of you joining us outside, those of you in orange, those of you at home, God bless you. I'm going to jump right in to make sure I can get done somewhat on time. I'm going to try to. We're in, hard to believe, part 19 out of 21, 22 parts. If you count part zero, we did right after Easter. It's hard to believe, but I'm going to jump right in and ask a question. I'm going to speak to believers. Those of you, let Pastor Nate know at home. Are there any believers in this room that I can see that feel like they're in a battle right now? Put your hand up and say, I feel like a battle is brewing in here, or in here, or it's all around here. Okay, if you're honest with yourself, say, there's a battle going on. I believe why? I believe the battles exist because where God blesses, Satan counters. I believe that's what's happening around us. And so I started doing a little bit of research into early American history and how people were taught, what was taught from the pulpits, what fathers were teaching their children at home. And so kind of made this little chart for you. Kind of the way it was done was this. There were two groups, okay? And there was no middle ground. There was sin, there was the devil, and there was hell. That was one spiritual force. Then you had righteousness, God, and heaven. And that was a second spiritual force. I mean, this was taught over and over and over again. And the challenge was, between these two, there was no gray. There was irreconcilable hostility between the two. And so from the pulpits in early American history and fathers teaching their children, it was, you've got to choose a side. You've got to choose a side. I believe the same is today. A couple of months ago, I was reading to A.W. Tozer, someone that I like to read. Usually I read him at lunch when I go out somewhere. And so he had a quote, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you because it made me think about today. And so I used it today. He said, people think, this whole idea of where it's somehow people think differently than was back in early American history. People think of the world not as a battleground. I'm living in a playground. We're not here to fight. We're here to frolic. We're not in a foreign land. We're at home. We're not getting ready to live. We're already living. And the best we can do is rid ourselves of our inhibitions and our frustrations and live this life to the full. Well, that sounds a lot different than what the pastors were speaking in early American history. And maybe I thought to myself, sitting in that subway, I believe, that day, and I thought, I need to pray right now, literally, as I'm eating my sandwich. I need to pray right now. And something like this, I said, God, help me to be willing. Help me to be willing. Help us to be willing to take that step, take the stand for righteousness and God, and to do everything we can to honor him and stand against our enemy, pay any price necessary, and then look forward to laying down our sword in heaven one day. That's a different way to live than what many people are living today. But if you go through the book of Ephesians and kind of give that radical summary of where we've been, I started looking at some of the words and realized that Paul's thinking, if you want to honor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, instead of just saying, yeah, I'm a believer, yay, God, thanks for doing what you did for me. But if you want to honor that sacrifice, he said, you're going to have to choose a side. He said, you're going to have to choose. You want to honor that sacrifice? You're going to have to choose humility over pride. You weren't born with it. You're going to have to choose humility over pride. You're going to have to choose unity over divisiveness. You're going to have to choose your new self over your old. You're going to have to choose love over lust, light over darkness, wisdom over foolishness. Chapter 5, you're going to have to choose being full of the Spirit over drunkenness of wine. Chapter 5, as well in Ephesians, you're going to have to choose mutual submission, husbands and wives, rather than self-serving independence. You're going to have to pick a sigh. And if you choose Christ, I'm telling you, here at home, doesn't matter. You're going to come up against opposition and conflict. Don't let yourself be deceived that it's not going to happen. Why do I believe that? Why am I so emphatic about that? How did Jesus start his earthly ministry? Luke chapter 4, 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by our adversary, our enemy, Satan. You think it ended there? He had a victory there? Did the enemy go, well, okay, can't mess with him. No, mess with him the whole time. At the end of his ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane, the forces of hell itself were on Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ was on bended knee before the Father in a spirit of submission, and yet he was on him to crack him and to break him to the point that the sweat was like blood dripping from his brow. Have we suffered to the point of shedding blood? I realize that what I take away from this, I don't even like to preach. But I believe that Satan will intensify his efforts against those who continue to effectively serve the Lord. Husbands, wives, moms, dads, teenagers, every single one of us. Where the Lord's work is genuinely being done, Satan will not fail to oppose it. No church, no family. So recognizing Satan's schemes, excuse me, my voice is breaking. That didn't sound very good. Satan's schemes, we have to say, Paul said, look, I'm going to give you some encouraging words, believers. But he also said, I'm going to give you words of warning. Now, we don't like to hear words of warning because we don't like to hear bad stuff. We don't like to think that there's a war ahead. But Paul is saying, you have to get it in your head and your heart that his strength is our strength. Do we get that? Do we believe that? His strength is our strength. So a baptism service 2 weeks ago, a phenomenal time we had out there for those of you who could join us, many online having a good experience. Go ahead and put the pictures up there if you would. That first one, just a beautiful day, testimonies, the word, prayer, amazing time. During that, we had platformed 3 individuals to pray specific prayers. And from our Orange campus, my brother down in Orange, Jerry Mullen Sr., we'd ask him to pray. And before he got up on the stage, he came to me and said, Mark, I feel the Holy Spirit moving in this place. Anybody know Jerry Mullins? You know, the Spirit of God's all over this man. The first time he prayed over me, my hair stood up on my arms, man. I knew that the Spirit of God was in that place. And so, but he said to me, Mark, I know the Spirit of God's here, but Mark, I'm feeling weak right now. And in one of my finer pastoral moments, I looked at him and said, good, good. I said, because I want you to take that platform right now, and I want you to show, I want to see the perfected strength of Christ on display through your weakness. He looked at me like, all right. Because that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, sometimes I can be strong. We come to church and say, boy, that was a great sermon. I feel strong today until I walk out there to the first trouble or temptation. First cell phone, first text, boom, I don't feel strong anymore. The only way we get stronger is we go through resistance. And Satan, God knows that we have to walk through that. We have to be tested. Now you say, well, I don't know about this testing trial thing and all that thing. Let me just give you a worldly example for a minute. Let me introduce you to the front-end suspension of a BMW E39. Haven't driven one, don't own one, never will. However, it's fascinating to watch and a whole lot more fun to listen to, so go ahead and turn it up if you want. As I was reading the article and watching this, this is what they said. They say, we're stressing the suspension of this vehicle far beyond what it will ever go through on the road. They said the severe rubber deformation of the tires and the extreme movement from the suspension will carry on sometimes for hundreds of hours. And I thought to myself, what are they doing? They're testing the engineers who designed this thing. They're testing the metal and the rubber and the bolts and the nuts. They're testing everything. Will it hold up under the test of hour after hour of rigorous training? And I started walking through this, realizing that the article said, we do this to make sure that the product is as close to perfect as possible. And as I watched this and listened to it, I thought to myself, this is what God allows us to go through. You think to yourself, I don't like to think about my God that way. But this is what he allows us to go through. But here's the challenge. When God allows us to go through times of trial, he's not testing our strength. He knows we don't have it. But he's testing our inclination of whether or not we're going to depend on his strength or not. You see the difference. You can rely on your own. Or in that moment of severe trial and testing, we can say, God, I have to trust in you in this moment. I don't have what it takes. Now, as you keep listening, actually, I love the sound of it. I ask myself right now, and I ask you a question. What trial are you going through? If somebody could open you wide open and listen to you, is this what they'd hear? Life's tough. You're under a lot of tension, a lot of stress, a lot of friction, a lot of heat's building up in your marriage or your home or your finances or your health. Do you feel that right now? My question is, the trial you're walking through, hear me, it's not God giving you something to figure out what you can tolerate. He's simply going, will you incline yourself to trust in me in the midst of the trial? Because my strength will be perfected in your weakness. That's easy to preach it. Let me tell you, it's easy to roll these words off my tongue. But my self-sufficiency has been called to task so many times in 2020 that God has called my bluff so many times, if I begin to share with you, I'd embarrass myself. My self-sufficiency has been exposed so many times and left me flat on my face. And some of you might be in that same court with me. So Paul said to these type of people, back then and still today, verse 11, look at what he said. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, we're going to look in the warfare and all the weaponry later on. I even tried to work on next week's already and couldn't get it all in 1 week, so I'll do it over the two. But I realized we're going to break that down, but God will perfect his strength in you, but we have to display our trust by suiting up. Oh, it's easy to sit in our prayer closet at home and say, God, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. God says, good, suit up. Suit up. He says, put on the full armor of God. That word in Greek, enduo, it's a word of permanence. In our culture today, we have a lot of clothes. Maybe some of you have a lot of clothes. Don't nudge anybody, not okay, no judgment here. You have a lot of clothes. And so you have an outfit for every day. That's okay. It's good. Some of the guys, they wear the same thing all week long, you know. But you have an outfit for every day. Some of you have an outfit multiple times a day to change things out. But that word enduo, when he says put on the full armor of God, he says put it on and don't what? Take it off. What God asks us to put on, he says don't take it off. And we're going to get into that next week because he said you have to learn how to stand against Satan's schemes. Now, we blow right past that word. Oh, yeah, Satan, he's out there doing his thing. No, do you understand? He's out to destroy you. He's out to destroy me. And so I went back and looked it up and said, what does that word scheme mean? Here's the word in Greek, methodia. I think there's another syllable in there I messed up. I wasn't looking at my notes. You see an English word we get from that? There it is, method. There are methods of the enemy that he used. He's not willy-nilly, fly by the seat of his pants. There are methods the adversary uses to bring you down and to bring me down, to bring a state down and to bring a nation down. Very well organized. And so I looked at the word going, schemes, crafty, cunning, and deception. Satan is not walking around going, yoo-hoo, Satan here, I've come to deceive you. Be careful. Do you understand why we use the word deception? Because when we're being deceived, we don't know we're being deceived. That's why we use it. So historically, I thought, looking back at Scripture, going, why is it so easy to be deceived? We can't just point fingers at other people. Historically, Satan was able to deceive the entire nation of Israel after their deliverance from the greatest superpower of Egypt. All of God's power and permanence and blessings and provision were on display all the way into the wilderness of Canaan. And yet, Satan and his scheming brought about the downfall of God's people where they worship the hideous and demonic idols of paganism. And before we go, shame on you, Israel. We need to take a good, hard look right here. Because in our day, the world is rushing to accept such demonic and deception, renaming it. I started thinking the vocabulary. You can take 1,000 things, but I realized just open your mind and heart for a second and ask yourself. You may not even grieve them. That's okay. I'm asking you to test the spirits. Or something you might used to have called abortion. You go, oh, that's bad. And somehow, now I'm going to, in a deceptive practice, I'm going to call it women's reproductive health. Where there's 1,000 good things in women's reproductive health, but there's also that horrible thing called abortion. Cunning, scheming, deceptive. Well, you need to ask yourself, then, what is happening and why is it happening? I realize that our morality, every show I turn on, anybody had that issue where everything I watch, PG, it doesn't matter. Everything, there's the endorsement and the lifting up and the edification of homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism, which are a perversion of sexuality. But it's become norm. Indoctrinating people. They're just like, well, okay, that's bad. I had to think to myself, I know I'm going to get off track. Where I get so angry at that, and I'm not judging, understand this, but when I see that stuff, I'll fast forward. I get so angry at what I'm seeing, but I had to think to myself, Mark, why don't you fast forward when you're watching heterosexuals who aren't married do something in a PG-13? And you just blow it off. And God convicted my heart. Because I've grown up with that. And I got used to it. But this stuff, I didn't get used to. I'm angry about it. You understand the deception that happens in our lives? Do we begin to the point of going, ah, it's no big deal. Craftiness of the enemy. Tara was walking through a store, a home goods store, just a couple of weeks ago, and she looked at me and said, Mark, I'm just amazed. And she said, there was how many idols, images of pagan gods are showing up on the store shelves being sold as accessories and trinkets. Why do we want anything that is dedicated to a foreign false god sitting on our bookshelf? No way. Satan is scheming to lift up and elevate and celebrate and legislate all of our individual beliefs. Why? Because there's no absolutes anymore, according to the world. And so I realized that, consider this. Maybe you said these protected classes. This is just me. Test the spirits on this. But if you find yourself part of a protected class, you might be living out and living in a scheme of the enemy. And I realize Satan's schemings include national, international policies and practices. It's not just about you. It's about our nation state. Any national, international policy or practice set about to deceive and destroy. This includes movements that radically try to reorient society in ways that are contrary to Scripture. And I, for one, I shared it several weeks ago. That's why I stand absolutely opposed to the modern Black Lives Matter movement. You say, Mark, you can't do that. Yes, I can, because it stands in deep contradiction to the Word of God. I've spent more time with my Black brothers and sisters in Culpeper. We just had another meeting a couple weeks ago. Phenomenal times of working on racial injustices in our county. It is beautiful. It is fun. It is powerful. But when an organization that's in a spirit of deception is blatantly trying to deconstruct the family and society at large, it's a scheme of the enemy. And I stand against it. But here's the deal. When we stand against things in our culture, this is where you need to go. This is where the Bible is so much bigger than politics. That in that moment, we see something we don't like. We go, I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you. I said, get your eyes up just a little bit higher for a second. Because there's a seriously threatening conflict going on between good and evil, raging in the invisible and supernatural realm, right outside of what we can see. Does anybody believe that? It's happening right now. And so I started thinking about this. And these are just my words. I thought, if you think, you get your eyes all down here. If you think that in Washington, D.C. is a swamp that needs to be drained, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on, then I'm going to ask you to raise your eyes up just a little bit higher for a second. Because there are spiritual predators and demons over parliaments and congresses and governments all over our world that are manipulating today's agendas and bills and trades and floor discussions. Why? To bring about the ruination of a nation. There are spiritual predators over our schools that are indoctrinating our kids into new moralities, making it feel like it's just normalizing what God said is perverse. This is not about human beings as much as about there are predators in the spiritual realm that are walking. There are spiritual predators over marriages all around our world that are bringing about the destruction and chaos in marriages, and churches that used to be on fire for the Lord are now flaming out in complacency. There are spiritual predators all over this place, and I realize that all those are who and behind all of this would make the Gators and the Swamp of Washington, D.C. look like minnows in a country pond. The real enemy are the rulers and authorities and the principalities of this dark world. Rulers. Rulers signify their subjects. There is rank and class in the demonic realm. You're not just having some little thing sitting on your shoulder going, do this, man. They're ugly, powerful, demonic beings. And we fought against them. Paul said, choose sides. Paul said, suit up. I think I'm playing this one. I'm not. I'm serious. I'm losing sleep over this message going, Lord, I hope people take this the right way. There are spiritual forces of evil. You don't even have to go outside the scripture. There are demons who are involved in the most wretched of various, they're infiltrating various political systems around the world, attempting to pattern them after Satan's realm. Just read Daniel chapter 10. See where I get this stuff from. Understand this for a second. This is a swamp no politician can drain. But one day God said, I will drain it. Do we believe that? Now, if we do, he says, you got to choose a side and you got to suit up. Now, folks, I'm going to turn to Pastor Jeff. I'm going to turn this over to you for a moment right now. And I'm just going to move on this because the Word of God says we're not fighting against an incredible evil and potent enemy. We are fighting against them. He says, prepare. Prepare, prepare, prepare. For our fight is, there it is. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. There are spiritual predators that we should hate more than the frustration you have against your political rival. Get your eyes up. In this season, it's all politics. But when I read the scripture, God says, get your eyes up here and get on your knees because there's a battle that no politician can win. But Christians on our knees, prepared well, ready for battle. I get a lot of guys going, you ready for war? You want to go fight? Yeah! But folks, you can't fight well if you don't prepare well. And God said, suit up. Suit up. So I'll end with this. Folks, dealing with demons in life is not a matter of finding the right technique. I promise you, because I've tried. Boy, have I tried. But folks, I've come realizing that humility, God, techniques don't work. That's being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and the spiritual tools he gives us. Why? Because what does he want to do? He wants to purify our souls. He wants us to reign in the joy of the Lord, that nothing in this world, no matter how ugly or tyrannical, can take away from what God is already doing inside of me. Nothing. Yes, I still have to fight. Yes, I still have to defend. Yes, I have to stand. I thank God for godly politicians who will stand up there and speak the truth. But they won't drain that swamp. Only believers on their face. When I see what's happening in Washington, D.C., I'm getting off track here for a second, but I just got to say it. When I see what's happening in Washington, D.C. throughout the month of October, pretty inspiring to me. With the return that's coming, with the pastors of Bethel Church, the worship leaders coming, with Franklin Graham that's coming to pray at the Lincoln Memorial, the God, people of God are flooding Washington, D.C. all throughout the month of October. People say, why Washington? It's the seat of power. It's also the seat of deception. And so this is where we go. And so I'm just so thankful to see what's happening because why? God says, I give you a formula. I hate to use that word now. To help you to overcome the demons that come at you. It's not simple, rather profound when he said this. This is hard. He said, submit. Teenagers, hear me. Submit yourselves then to God. Suit up. Suit up first. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We as Christians and even unbelievers who may be in my midst, even in law, we understand what it means to resist. I may have shared this, and forgive me if I've shared it before. Probably a year ago, sitting across glass from an inmate here in a county jail. Only been out 6 months. Great record inside. Got out early. Trustee in the jail. He lasted 6 months before he OD'd again. Lost his privileges. He was back in and went to see him. talking to him about his devastation, disappointment in himself. I'm not condemning him. I don't judge him. Love him. But I went back to this scripture, let him read it, just opened it up to the glass. Say, read God's word for yourself. And as he read that scripture, tears in his eyes, he looked at me and said, Mark, for 6 months, I was resisting the drug. But I've never learned to submit to God. I'll never forget those words. Because I believe he was speaking what I would say in some of my battles and what you might say in some of yours. We have practiced and made a mastery of resistance. But God said, suit up and submit. So I'm going to ask you right now, as this resonates in your spirit, just take a moment to pray right now. And I'm going to pray just a part of Psalm 51 for us. David, who was broken before the Lord, we recognize that his eyes and his heart were on all the wrong things. From Bathsheba, to murdering her husband, just horrible things. We recognize our eyes are in the wrong place. Maybe that's where your eyes are today. You say, guys, help me get my eyes off of this. Get them back up here. Pray this with me. Hear these words. Have mercy on me, O God. Because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Lord, we claim it today. We celebrate it today. We're so thankful, Lord, you're compassionate with us and for us. As David prayed, blot out the stain of my sin. Wash away my guilt. Purify me. Purify me from my sin. Lord, as believers, for those in this room who profess faith in Jesus Christ, we come in that spirit of humility. God, help us to leave this place willingly desiring to suit up and to submit. That God, you would protect our heart and our soul, not giving grounds, Lord, for the demons of this world to harm us. Prepare us, Lord God, for the battles that will come. God, we can't depend on our own strength. Like myself, maybe many in this room have fallen flat on their face in embarrassment, even in 2020. Remind me, Lord, remind us that when that next trial comes, when that next temptation comes, Lord, you are not asking us to depend on our own strength. You're not testing our own tolerance, Lord God. You are asking, will you incline yourselves, family? Will you incline yourself, brother and sister in Christ? Will you incline yourself from God's perspective, my daughter and my son, to trust in my power that is already in you through the Holy Spirit? That you would become strong in the Lord. Maybe for some of you today, before you could ever submit to the Lord a challenge or a test or an addiction or a failure, you need to submit your very life to Him. And I challenge you right where you're at home here. Don't let another second go by before you say, you're right, I'm done. I'm done trying to be God. I can't rescue myself. I can't save myself. But I believe that God has already sent the rescuer. All he asked me to do is believe in him by faith. Would you do that right now? Would you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you in my life more than anything else in this world. Forgive me of my sin. God, cleanse me of the wretchedness inside of me that I don't even know what's there. I've been deceived. Bring the light of revelation, Lord God, into my life that I can see the lies that I have bought and am living out every day. That I can walk in the light and the joy of your salvation. Father, it's not the words that we pray, but it's our hearts, Lord. And so I'm believing in this room right now, individuals in a home are transforming into children of the Most High God because you're doing it, because they ask you. Another battle lost by the Lord, another soul saved to the kingdom of light. Thank you, Jesus. Father, bless this time. Bless this family as they leave this place, as they leave the tent outside, as they leave the places in orange, leave wherever they're going. Help us to take aside and help us to suit up. And we thank you for this day in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you leave this place today. Walk out in the power and strength of the Lord. You'll face an enemy out there, but the one who is in you is stronger than the one in the world. Take that to the bank. God bless you.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in.